Right. We are in Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Now let me just pick and choose a few things to read here through the passage. To avoid reading the whole thing. Look at starting with verse 3. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, go down to verse 24. This is the middle towards the end, rather, of the prodigal son's story, verse 23. Let's begin with verse 23. And bring hither, says the father to the servants, the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Down in verse 32. The father now talking to the elder brother who is not happy about his brother's plight. Verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this morning, and once again, it's a holiday weekend. I know a lot of folks are out and about traveling with family and such. Pray to give everybody safety as we are closing out kind of the summer season. It'll be fall upon us soon and school will start and all that. But I pray, Father, you'd be with folks that are away. I think about Jeremy and Renee as they're up in Bismarck here this morning. I pray that you'd bless our services here. Appreciate the service of these folks yesterday here cleaning, as well as all the stuff that's gone on with various funerals and the weddings coming up, Lord, the state fair and Moldova coming up as well. Pray you'd give us clarity of mind and focus. Help us see something here for ourselves that we need this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have a really familiar passage here this morning. It's a familiar passage, but it is a very living one. I don't know about you, but if you can't find your name and your lot in Luke 15... you have a serious spiritual problem, right? And the cool thing about Luke 15 is I have a hard time reading through it without finding something new every single time. It's just weird. I went to a meeting one time. It was a meeting in Toledo, Ohio. And I think we counted five separate preachers for that 3 or 4 days that all preached separate messages on the prodigal son. And not a one of them was alike. I have about 6 or 8 messages on the prodigal son myself, and none of those are alike. So this is one of those places where the Bible shows itself to be what it is. It's a living book. It never reads the same way twice, at least the way you perceive it. I don't mean the words change. I mean that the Lord speaks to you sometimes in different ways every time you read through the Bible. Thank God for it. All right, well, I want to preach to you out of the prodigal son this morning. There's a couple of themes that put together these 3 or 4 different desperate items in the passage. First of all, notice one of the things that goes through is the theme of rejoicing. Notice first of all in verse 1 that these folks drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And of course the Pharisees and scribes are unhappy with him and they're murmuring and complaining. And so out of that, the Lord Jesus Christ launches into this shepherd, having lost one of 100 sheep, goes out into the wilderness to find him. Having found him, He rejoices that he found him and then tells furthermore that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons that have no need for it. But rejoicing. Then he goes into the coin. The woman loses the coin, tears the house apart to find the coin, finds the coin, rejoices again and again. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons that have no need for it. That said, you go into the prodigal son, and when you get down to verse 23, you find where this, verse 24, this my son was dead, is alive again, he was lost, and is found. And of course, they rejoiced in it, they made merry in it. Again, down in verse 32, where he's telling his older son, you should with me make merry and rejoice because your brother is found. Instead, you're mad. But you see through that, folks, that that joy is the thing that binds that whole passage together. Look, you ought to have joy that you're found. And you ought to find some joy in helping find somebody else. Right? That said, there's another theme I'd point out to you. In verse 4, again, addressing the Pharisees, and you know, through this storytelling about the lost sheep, notice that the shepherd goes to the wilderness until he find, verse 4, that lost sheep. And having found it, he rejoices because at the end of verse 6, I have found my sheep which was lost. Finding. Again, verse 8, she loses the coin, tears the house apart until she find it. Verse 9, when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Now, that said, notice verse 24. We have now lost and found a sheep. We have now lost and found a coin and presumably rejoiced in it. Verse 24, this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost. And notice he is found. Verse 32, this thy brother was dead, is alive again and was lost. And notice, and is found. Now, what I wanted you to see in that, and this is what caught my eye, twice, verse 24 and then in verse 32, the prodigal son is said to be found. Now, the interesting thing about that is I don't read in there where the father or the brother or the servants sent out packs of bloodhounds and sent out riders and ransacked the wilderness and the country and the outlying areas trying to find the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the father knew, had taken the money, sold off the inheritance, had run and gone to a far country. I don't know if he knew where to find him if he needed him, but there is no indication that anybody went and ransacked the wilderness to find the prodigal son. Now, I know that the shepherd went and ransacked the wilderness to find the sheep that was lost. I know the woman tore the house apart to find the coin that was lost and found it and thank God for it, right? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about finding the prodigal son. Finding the prodigal, okay? There are three things I want to say first that finding is not, okay? First of all, I can say finding the prodigal son is not necessarily a massive search and rescue effort. Now, don't misunderstand. I am not denigrating the father's yearnings, the father's brokenheartedness. I'm not questioning that he did all he could and that all he should. I know who that father stands for, right? That father, in many respects, stands for God in the parable. But my point is, I am not criticizing him for not doing enough. I'm just saying that in the prodigal son's case, it was not a massive search and rescue effort, right? I am not, by the way, undermining any effort that we are to go through to try to find a prodigal son. Here we are. been going for a week and a half now, down to the fair twice a day, putting out as many tracts as possible. One person has gotten saved, as far as I know. But as far as a massive response to the gospel, we haven't seen that. So we're putting out a lot of effort, spending a lot of money and gas and time and strength and tracts just to go get the word to a bunch of people that so far haven't appeared to want much to be found. Right? So I'm not denigrating the Father's yearnings and brokenheartedness. I'm not criticizing anybody for doing all they can to get somebody saved. I'm also not making a statement about some nutcase Calvinistic stuff where we don't have to go search for them because, after all, if they're elect, they'll come. If they're not elect, we can't get them anyway. So I'm not saying that either. I tell you what I am saying. This is to magnify the Father's patience and the Father's prayers and the Father's wisdom. The Father knew the prodigal son had money, and he knew that prodigal son probably was going to have to run a course before he came to the end of himself. Right? Second thing I want to say with this is that the finding the prodigal son is not necessarily a search and rescue effort. It is to point out that there is a God in heaven that knows how to get to a prodigal son. Here's a God in heaven that managed, about the time the kid's money ran out, the father arranged for a famine in the land, and only God can do that. And I want you to know something. In the end, only God can really go recover the prodigal. Again, you do all you can do. But I'm just saying that there is a God in heaven that deals with the hearts of men, including prodigals, right? And lastly, along this line, I want to say that it's very important to understand that the prodigal son has a responsibility to come back. It's not just all about me going and getting him. It's not all just about God going and getting him. The prodigal son has a responsibility to come back home. Okay? So, first of all, finding a prodigal is not always a massive search and rescue effort. Secondly, look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, well, you have publicans, sinners, Pharisees and scribes that are going to some effort to get in his presence so they can hear him. And I want to say that finding the prodigal son is not just getting them in a place where they can hear him. And what I mean by that is that publicans, sinners, Pharisees, and Sadducees all went to some effort to try to get in the presence of Jesus Christ so they could hear him and hear the Word of God. Okay? Well, the scribes and Pharisees were Jesus Christ's continuing adversaries. This whole passage was directed at them. They're the prodigals, right? So, strictly speaking, just being in church, or just being under the Word of God, or just being under the ministry of the Word of God, does not mean that you're not prodigal. Because these guys were hearing the Word of God, and the Pharisees and the scribes, while hearing it, were the ones the prodigal son's parable, if you want to call it that, was, that's who it was directed at. So, it is not just hearing him either. There are many cases that you could go through and name where prodigal sons, both lost and saved, actually thrive at times on a church atmosphere and actually thrive as prodigals even under the preaching of the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God is not where it all ends. Right? Okay, there's something else to just see here real quick as well. If you go down to verse 25, 26, 27, and 28, you find the prodigal son's come home. The elder brother is not a happy boy. He is not happy at all that the father has pulled out the red carpet to welcome the prodigal son home. He's not happy that the fatted calf has been killed. He's not happy at all. Okay, now look. Finding the prodigal son is not just being home and dutiful. The elder brother never left home. Can I point out to you that the coin was lost in the house? Right? The prodigal son, excuse me, the prodigal son's elder brother stayed home and filled the spot the prodigal should be in. He was dutiful the whole time, never left home. But you can still be prodigal and be home. You can still be prodigal and be dutiful. Now that said, and that established, you find some things that what it means to be a prodigal son that is found. It says down in verse 24, for instance, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Well, so he was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Okay, you know what that means? Go down in verse 27. "He had received him safe and sound." So, the prodigal son being found, for one, can mean he's saved. He's saved now. He was dead. He was lost. Now he's found. He's alive. He's safe. He's sound. He's eternally secure. He's in the fold. He's back. Thank God for it, right? It means saved. But there's more to it than that. Notice, down in verse 27, I kept finding this stuff I really hadn't seen before. For instance, verse 27, again, the servants talking to the son here, the elder brother, he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf." Well, thy brother hath come. The prodigal son has been found. The prodigal son is come. Go down in verse 30. The older brother complaining to the father, "As soon as this thy son was come." That's twice. Twice it says the prodigal son is found, even though nobody is out combing the wilderness for him, because that's not where he is. It says twice as well that he has come, he has come. Well, I heard he has come, and then I heard this little bell in my head go ding, ding, because come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, right? Come unto me. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Furthermore, he says, and you will not come unto me that you might have eternal life. Revelation chapter 22 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Okay? Whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. Ladies and gentlemen, twice he's found, twice he's come. Okay? Apparently, coming is a very important matter for somebody that's lost. And apparently coming is a very important matter for somebody that's saved but prodigal, right? So I'm talking here this morning about finding the prodigal, and I was looking for a way to maybe explain it or look at it in a way I hadn't looked at it before, and this is what I found. Look down in chapter 15, verse 18. Here is what finding the prodigal revolves around. It involves the prodigal coming. Look down in verse 18. The prodigal says, I will arise and go to my father. Now, from the father's perspective, the prodigal son would be coming, right? He said, I will arise and go to my father. Verse 27, again, thy brother is come. Verse 30, thy son is come. I want to say, the prodigal son was found because he came of his own volition. He came of his own volition. Ladies and gentlemen, the prodigal son was not herded or driven back to the father. The prodigal son was not searched for, found, hogtied, and carried back to the father. In fact, the prodigal son was not lifted up into the loving embrace of Jesus Christ and carried back to the Father. The prodigal son came of his own volition. The prodigal son was not induced by bribery or by obligation to come back. It was of his own volition that he came back. Now look, I'm not discounting the work of the Holy Spirit in this. I believe the Holy Spirit convicted him, reproved him, rebuked him, judged him, and I read it that he broke it so he would come back. But the fact of the matter is, it was still the prodigal son's own will. It was still his own volition. It was still his decision to go home. Now look, folks, the prodigal son is not found if he does not go back of his own volition. See what I'm saying? The prodigal son is found. He's found, he's home, he's come. But if he doesn't come of his own volition, he's not found. Right? He's not found. Nobody else can make the decision that the prodigal son has to make for himself. I'm not denying the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not denying that God is involved in events and circumstances. I am saying, in the end, the prodigal son is responsible for getting back. He is responsible for getting back. Look, a young child, 4, 5, 6 years old, sometimes kids, there are folks in this room that at four, five, or six got saved. It's a touchy thing because a kid that's 4, 5, or 6 may simply just be seeking to please his Christian parents to get found. Right? I mean, that 5-year-old child, truth of the matter is, it's easy to teach a kid to rely too much on a prayer prayed. Just words said. Here, read this card, and if you can read that, you're saved. You can do that, right? There are people that do that. They're asking for trouble. Is a 4-year-old child found if he doesn't understand what he's just done? No. I know 25 and 30-year-old prodigal sons that were saved early and left for the world. And they went to the world and they got beat up really bad and they wound up cold and hungry and they made their way back home for the love of mama, for the approval of papa. And because they were hungry and cold and they knew there was food in a bed there. So they're home now. Are they found? It's not the same thing. See what I'm saying? There are folks that come home in disgrace and failure and humiliation. And they're home again. And they may be in church again. But that doesn't mean they're found. Did they come of their own volition and of their own burden in their relationship with God? There are methods by the score by which we are taught we can go out and get the prodigal sons. I mean, don't preach at them. Invite them to a hot dog supper and then get them in and let a rock band play at them. There are methods by which folks think that that the prodigal son comes home by this method. But once the prodigals come home, is he found? All I know is that when I was 10 years old, it was my own burden that I had stolen my mom's cooking pecans out of the freezer. And it was my burden, and it was my sin, and it was my volition that I went to God through Jesus Christ to get that right because I was convicted about that and I knew I was going to go to hell if I didn't get saved. And then, again, when I was 20-plus years old, in college having backslidden, after being saved, I was prodigal again in the sense that I was still a Christian, but away from God. I want you to know that by the 3rd year and 4th year in college, I was ready to be found, and of my own volition, I went back to the church and went back to the Bible and went back desiring to be found by God. I'm just saying, Ladies and gentlemen, the prodigal son was found. Thank God for it. It was not a massive search and rescue effort. The Holy Spirit did a lot of work, but that prodigal son had to come of his own volition. There's something else here I'd like you to see. Now, and I'll tell you up front that a prodigal son is found because he comes to repentance. Now, coming to repentance is not stated exactly in the passage. I can quote you a verse, 2 Peter chapter 3. I can quote it if I can remember it. Duh. And I'll remember it once I see it. Of course I will. Look like a fool now, but I'll remember it. Not willing that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. I said twice, he says, the prodigal son is found, he's found. He's come. Coming is an important part. The sinner must come of his own volition. Secondly, the sinner has to come to repentance. Now, back in chapter 15, verse 7, I got news for you. Sheep, I'm talking about Baba sheep, not people sheep. Sheep don't repent. But having found the sheep, the Holy Spirit said, now look, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So he links the repenting with being found. Now, sheep don't repent. I got news for you. Coins don't repent either. But the coin having been found, the Holy Spirit says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Right? Now, you say, well, it doesn't say that the prodigal son repented. If he didn't repent, what in the world would you call it? Go, if you will, down to verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he said, not only have I sinned, I have sinned before God, I have sinned against God, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned before you. Well, that's a pretty thorough dealing with sin, I would say. If that's not repentance, I'm not quite sure what repentance is, right? It's one thing for a guy to say, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me if I've done anything wrong. It's another thing to say, please forgive me, I stole your quarter when you weren't looking and I knew what I was doing. I'm sorry for doing it. That's repentance. But it's not repentance to say, oh, if I've done anything wrong, God, just forgive me. That's not repentance. But that's not the end of it. Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He renounced, listen to this, 21st century Americans, he renounced his self-worth. If that's not repentance, I'm not quite sure what is. For a man to say, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I should change my name, but I'm willing to come back and change my name, if that's what it means. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now today, everybody has self-worth linked with being a Christian. I got news for you, as a sinner, your self-worth should be way down here. Because the fact of the matter is, that's part of repentance, knowing that you're going to bust hell wide open. And if you've failed God, the reason you've failed God is your weakness and your sin and your lack of faith. And therefore, your self-worth should still be fairly low. But that's not all of it either. Verse 19. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I mean, folks, the prodigal son is willing to accept all consequences. In fact, he's so willing to accept consequences, he's willing to accept consequences that even God himself would not put on him. The father said, you don't have to go there, right? I'm not going to make you as one of the hired servants. Look, folks, I'm just saying that if the prodigal son didn't repent, what did he do? He recognized his sin, repented of his sin. He had an issue with his own self-worth. He was willing to accept consequences that even the Father would not put on him. Look, my point, folks, is that the prodigal son was found because he came to repentance. He didn't just come of his own volition. He came to repentance. There is this great chasm now between the way the prodigal son dealt with his sin and the way modern-day Christians are taught to deal with theirs. Now, if you're under Bible preaching, which you are here, then it's different for you. But the average church somewhere, you know, sin just is not dealt with explicitly. And a sinner is not told explicitly how to make things right with his sin. I'll tell you one thing. You're not found if you haven't dealt with your sin. You've got to deal with your sin if you're going to be saved, and you're going to have to deal with your sin if you're going to be right with God, even as a Christian. You can't be found if you're not dealing with what made things wrong. Look, your sins have separated between you and your God, right? If you're a sinner and your sin is the problem, and believe me, it is, then until you deal with that sin, you are not found. You're not found. If you want a verse, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 real quick. Matthew chapter 21 real quickly, verse 32. I am not saying here that part of repentance is going in and highlighting and outlining every single sin you've ever done and commending that to God. I don't even think that's possible, okay? I am saying that you cannot lower the bar so far that you don't deal with your sins at all. Look in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32. Notice how the Lord links repentance with real faith. Verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And you, you Pharisees and Sadducees, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe on it. Folks, to really believe, there's an element of repentance in really believing. I'm not suggesting for a moment that you have to go back in your lifetime and literally confess every single sin. Some have said that. I don't believe that. But I also am not willing to lower the bar to the point that you really don't have to deal with your sins at all. You're just okay, and the blood of Jesus Christ covers everything, and you're right with God, and you're found, even though you haven't dealt with the problem. Because until you've dealt with the problem, by this passage, you are not found. Right? Notice something else here, if you will. Look in chapter 15, Luke. Luke 15, 17. Twice. The prodigal son is found. He is found twice. He has come. He has come. How you come is going to depend on whether or not you are found. Look in chapter 15, verse 17. The prodigal son has been in terrible straits. He spent his money, partied like the devil himself. Now a famine has set in the land. He has been set in a pigsty feeding pigs. Verse 17, and when he, notice, came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. But the Bible says that he came to himself. Okay? He was found because he came of his own volition. He was found because he came to repentance. And I want to say, he was found because he came to himself. I have long been intrigued by that phrase. He came to himself. Did you know that there is a certain madness in sin? Did you know there is a madness in sin, and a madness in rotten decisions? Here you have the father, presumably the brother, and maybe even some more of the household, early on, trying to talk some sense into the prodigal son. How crazy are you to take this inheritance, sell it off, and go spend it before you're 25 years old. Your father, your grandfather, these guys have worked their lifetimes away trying to lay up this inheritance for you. What is it when you're going to go off and spend it all? You're crazy. You're nuts. He would not be reasoned with. There is a certain madness in sin. There is a certain madness in really rotten, bad decisions. Do you know why? Because pride enters in. Pride will drive you crazy. You will make some crazy, stupid decisions out of pride. You will make some crazy decisions if you give rein to your ambitions. If you give rein to the lusts of your flesh and lasciviousness, you will make some really crazy decisions for folks sitting around reading their Bibles in their right minds, because they can see you're a little bit mad in sin. You're mad in these rotten decisions. The Bible says he came to himself. He came to. When I say he came to, what does that mean to you? That means that the guy was unconscious and now he's come to. Well, so when he was in sin making these decisions and really living like the devil, he was kind of out of it. Right? But he came to himself. Folks, there is a madness. There is an unconsciousness in sin and in some decisions that people make. Maybe he came to himself in the sense that he came to himself, put his hand on his own lapel, put himself up against the wall and said, "You are a moron. You are a complete idiot." See, that's the Kyle Stevens version of this. But down in verse 17, came to himself, said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger?" It's in the Greek, but the Kyle Stevens version says, "You are a moron. Are you crazy? Here you are starving to death, eating pig food. You could be in your father's house, still living like you did your entire life. You are crazy for having sold this thing out." Right? Ladies and gentlemen, he came to himself. He came to himself. It is not hard. It is not hard to find. All you have to do is go to Walmart and look through the magazine section. It is not hard to find lost people that are crazed with their own ambition. They're crazed with their own pride. They're crazed by their own work, by their own artistry, by their own intellect, by their education, by their materialism. It is not hard to find lost folks that are just a little bit mad, right? And they're not found because they haven't come to themselves. And by the way, most of us here have in mind some Christians somewhere that you know that it wasn't that long ago that they were serving God with a whole heart. And now they're nowhere near. Right? And you sat and you watched as they became unreasonable, as they yielded to pride, ambition, or money, or career, or any various number other of things, disenchantment, discontentedness. And as they were reasoned with from the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit, they would none of it. They were unreasonable. They were irreprovable. They would not be instructed. They're not thinking right. They're just a little bit crazy. Right? Just a little bit mad. Well, the prodigal son, I just want to say, was not found until he came to himself. Hey, it's the prodigal son's responsibility. The prodigal son took upon himself to do what he did with the inheritance, with the money. It is the prodigal son's responsibility to get back to the father. Whether it means somebody that's lost is responsible for getting to Jesus Christ. Somebody that's saved and backslidden is responsible to get back to the Father. And they're not found until they come to themselves. There's one more thing. Look down in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Notice he came to his father. He came to repentance. He came of his own volition. He came to himself. He came to his Father. He was not found till he came to his Father. Notice, he did not come to his mommy. I know grown men that'll go to their mommies before they will their dads. He did not come to his bosom buddy, best friend forever. He did not come to his old grandpappy, who was well past the strength and years. His force had abated. He's in the last couple of years of his life. He just wants to die in peace and have the family be at rest. And so grandpappy probably would have had mercy on the child. So it would have been easy to go to grandpappy. He didn't go to his baby sister, who always had a weakness for a big brother. No, brother. He went to his father. He went to the man. He went to the man whose reputation he had blackened in the world. He went to the man whose inheritance he had wasted and spoiled in the world. He went to the man that he had shamed and humiliated in the world. He went to the man whose love he had despised. He went to the man whose counsel he had rejected. He went to the man whose rules he had broken. He went to the man that had the final say on, he could have said, get off my land. Right? You got all you're going to get. Get off my land. It must have been hard for the prodigal son to go face the man. Right? But he faced the man. And you know what he found? He found in the end, the man wanted him back more than anything else. Right? And thank God for it. But I want you to know something. The prodigal son was not found till he faced the man. I got news for you. You ain't found till you faced God. Folks try to do all kinds of squirrely diversions and detours around it. I go to the Father through Jesus Christ because I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I have a mediator with the Father. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But make no mistake about it, I go to God through Jesus Christ. But I don't just go to Christ. I go to the man. Listen, just so we can avoid nutcase charismaticism, you know that I believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. You know that? You know that I believe He's one with the Father. But I got news for you. Your approach is to the Father through Jesus Christ. You don't just go to Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not like that. Jesus Christ is the door by which you go to the Father. Until you go to the Father through Jesus Christ, you've not been found. Lost? Or saved. If you're saved, until you go and make that thing right with the Father through Christ, you've not been found. He wasn't found till he went to the Father. He was not found till he went of his own volition. He was not found till he repented. He was not found till he came to himself. Ladies and gentlemen, part of this has just been about, this is the prodigal son's responsibility. He was responsible for the mistakes. He was responsible for the decisions. He was responsible for the waste, the wantonness, and the idiocy. It is the prodigal son's responsibility to get back home and to be found by the Father. The Father did not send out bloodhounds. The Father did not scour the outer countryside with horsemen trying to find the son. the father knew the son was gone to a far country, that it was going to take prayer, fasting, and patience, and he was wise enough to let the prodigal son run his course. In the end, if the prodigal son had stayed in the pigsty, he never would have been found. It is the prodigal son's responsibility to get back to the father. The Holy Spirit has a part, absolutely. But make no bones about it. It is a prodigal son's responsibility to get to the Father. Let's pray. Now, Father, thank you this morning for these things. I ask you, as we live in a day when our responsibilities are not very well attended, Lord, and sometimes it's really, really easy to blame somebody else. Really easy for a prodigal son these days to get sympathy from mama or papa or somebody else to justify foolish and unwise decisions and mistakes. Well, Father, may you pull the mask aside here this morning. Help folks realize that no matter what mistakes have been made, and no matter how strongly the Holy Spirit works and deals with a man, it is that man's own personal responsibility to get back where he belongs. The prodigal son was not found until he got back in the land, until he dealt with his sins, until he went of his own volition, until he came to himself, until he came to the Father. Father, help us this morning to be able to apply this in our own personal lives. There may be even nobody unsaved here this morning, but it is certainly more than possible to be a prodigal son in church, even doing right in a measure. Help us, Lord, to be able to look at ourselves honestly and sincerely. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a minute. We'll stand and sing in a second, but let me give you an opportunity to come this morning if you're of a mind to. The words jumped off the page at me this last week or so when I read through here about the prodigal son being found. He was found. Yeah, but nobody was out looking for him. Nobody scoured the country. The father himself was not out in the fields looking for the prodigal son. He knew he was in a far country with a bunch of money, and he knew he had to wait until the prodigal son came to himself. So I was thinking about the words that he was found, and realized that it was the prodigal son's responsibility to be found. It was his doing. He had to come. And so will you. And so will I. Take a hymn book and stand with number 286 in hand. 286. You may know it by heart by now.
All righty, we'll meet 5:30 tonight for prayer, both ladies and men, if you'd like to come. 6 o'clock for service. Brother David's going to be here tonight. Don't forget to sign up for fair goings this morning if you're of a mind to go today, or even tomorrow for that matter. Anyway, we'll be dismissed at this point. John Rodriguez, would you pray for us? Amen. Good afternoon.